at the Old Settlers Music Festival. We have some wonderful artists who come into the Discovery Stage and talk about what they do and how they do it. But, you know, trying to talk to Marty Stewart in 45 minutes about his musical career or his musical legacy or his musical influences is like talking about the Bible in 5 seconds. And it's just not going to be done. So what we're going to do is hear a little bit of music from these fine gentlemen. And we're going to do a little Q&A, and I'll be walking around with either this or a wireless mic or something. I don't know what's going to happen, but what's going to happen here is some really lovely music. The fantastic Paul Martin on bass. The extraordinary Guy Stinson on the vocals and the percussion. The extraordinary Stinson. Ladies and gentlemen, Marty Stewart and his fabulous superlative.
She was a kind of country woman, a town tip-top Mississippi. Well, she was a kind of country woman, a town tip-top Mississippi. Looking back down the road, I know she meant the world. Well, her husband went to Memphis to get a job on the Southern train. Well, her husband went to Memphis, job on the Southern train. She called me to bring her comfort on the day that letter came. He said, sugar, I've been thinking, I'm riding on the GM&O. Riding on the GM&O. I'll be getting off at Hattiesburg, won't be coming home no more. Oh Lord, I hate to see a pretty woman in distress. Oh well, oh Lord, I hate to see a good-hearted woman in distress. She said, Marty Stewart, will you help me? I said, maybe I'll do my very best.
Well, she said, who's gonna plow my field? Who's gonna shuck my corn? She said, who's gonna plow my field? Oh, who's gonna shuck my corn? And when winter time rolls round, keep me warm. Well, people, mercy, 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 I love that country life. Well, mercy, mercy, people, love that country life. Till early one morning, my eyes when he opened up that door. Well, you should have seen my eyes, handsome Harry, when he opened up that door. You should have seen me running now when he opened up with that 44.
bloodshot in my bottle and a tattoo on my arm. I got some bloodshot in my bottle and a tattoo on my arm. Well, that represents my days down on that train, man.
To the Bluegrass Festival in McKinney, Texas. And I was playing, I was playing the Lester Flat, got me a gig on the road when I was 13 years old, and just, I mean, went right for the road. I love the road. And hadn't been home since 1972. I'm doing good. Hadn't been to bed since 1972. Everything's all right. And I've only seen three flying saucers. Everything's good. But we used to travel a lot back in those days, Lester Flatt and Bill Monroe. Actually, Lester Flatt and Bill Monroe had not spoke to each other since 1948. Well, Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs left Bill Monroe's band when I was calling Flatt and Scruggs, and it really caused some hard feelings. But right before I went to work with Lester, they shook hands one day, Lester and Bill did, backstage at Bean Blossom. And the people went crazy, and they figured out they could make a lot of money off of their goodwill toward each other. So we worked a lot of shows with Bill Monroe, and that was a wonderful thing because I got to learn a lot of mandolin tunes off of him. And this was one of my show dog pieces from back then. It was called Rawhide. It goes like this. Thank you.
my breakfast in bed. When I've done work, she's my aching head. And now she's here today with every man in town. She's still trying to take me for that same old family. Because I used to love her, but it's all over now. I used to love her, but it's all over now.
Hey, Kenny Vaughn, folks. You know, I was going to turn this into a lot of Q&A, but we got so many people, and I'm thinking we're going to hear a lot about more about musical heritage and influence and so on and so forth if we hear a little bit more music. But I did want to start out, so we'll do less talk, more music. However, that's okay with me. But I just had a first question. I wanted to know why it is that you thought it was a necessary thing to start collecting a bunch of nudie suits.
Well,
and a bunch of guitars and a bunch of everything else. What got you started in that way?
Well, I've always kind of been historically minded. I think it's because I got to be raised by a lot of the kind of master architects, the people who kind of invented country music, bluegrass music, folk music, and in the early 80s, the urban cowboy scare happened. And I was working in Johnny Cash's band at that time, and we went to London. And I ran into a guy named Isaac Tiger, who was a co-founder of the Hard Rock Cafe chain. And he took me to the first Hard Rock Cafe in London, and up on the wall, even though it was a hamburger joint, they had costumes by The Who, Jimi Hendrix, and The Beatles, The Stones, Otis Redding, people like that. And they were really treated with a lot of dignity. And outside of the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, I didn't know of anybody that was actually kind of taking care of that strand of country music culture. And it happened to be the people who raised me. It was those old sparkling costumes like Porter Wagoner used to wear, and Hank Williams boots, Johnny Cash's set list, Lester Flatt's guitar picks. Those kind of things were just, nobody cared about it anymore. They were starting to turn up in yard sales and thrift stores in Nashville, and it seemed really wrong to me. So all the way home to America, I kept thinking about, we need to take care of this. All that stuff I saw at the Hard Rock was really important, but so were those things I just mentioned. And to me, country music people, country music, the audience of country music, it's always been a very essential part of America's culture, even when America didn't recognize that. So it just seemed like it needed protecting, and somebody needed to get out there and champion. So it became my mission to collect, preserve, and archive as much of that stuff as I could. And it started in my bedroom. And now, if anybody wants to make a contribution to the insurance fund, it's crazy. And it just went up on a portion of the exhibit. Just went up on exhibit at the State House in Little Rock, Arkansas. So if you're in Arkansas for any reason, go see this stuff. Yeah.
All right, that's awesome. Thank you. Does anybody have another question? Let's hear it.
Hi, Marty. Well, what's the story on your mandolin? What make is it? How old is it? And who all is carved into it?
Well, it's a copy of a Gibson mandolin. It's a bootleg that was made by a banjo player. This player was Jimmy Martin named Chris Warner. I paid $650 for it when I went to work with Lester Flatt as a teenager. And I was so proud of it because it didn't have a scratch on it. Not one. Yeah, right. And I was working with Johnny Cash one night. He decided he wanted to take out the mandolin. That lasted about 15 seconds. I looked out one night. He had his pocket knife out on stage, and he put JRC in a big cross, and then signed his name on the back. And after the show, I said, what did you do that for? He says, well, I didn't want you to forget the Lord. I said, well, I could have remembered him without you screwing up my mandolin. But it's a name dropper's dream now. And the cool thing is I didn't ask hardly any of these people for that. That's Ramblin' Jack Elliott, Earl Scruggs, John Fry, and Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry, Wayne Newton, Stephen King, Chet Atkins, Bob Dylan, Charlie Pride, my mama, Merle Haggard. But right here is the coolest one on here. This is Doc Watson's. He could never sign autographs, but he got one of those things for Christmas one year, and he just autographed his butt off for about 6 months. I'm really proud of that.
All right, thank you. One more question right now. What do we have? Is anyone? Oh, yeah. Let's go for it.
One more ride.
One more ride is the request, but...
Oh, man, I don't know. Let me see.
We've never, ever played it.
You can think about it tonight.
I long for a trip, I don't need no grip, I'm taking one more ride. Way out there in the Riviera, I guess it's in my hat. For the clickety-clack of the railroad track, it's cold. If a man can know where the Santa Fe goes, she gets understanding. At the big live velvet barn's farewell, can hear her whistle scream. He's bound to go where there ain't no snow to fall. One more ride. I miss the bloom of the prairie moon that seemed on my name. And the tumbleweed where the prairie dog feed, and miss him just the same. They're all a part of the song of heart I'm singing. I recall the tune that I sang to the moon, and it seemed to make it smile. And I rode away at the close of day, and I stayed for a while. But I long to be where the memory is ringing. One more ride. Oh, one more ride.
If you wanna be my
George Strait happened in Texas, and that kind of shit just didn't fly out of here. So they'd book us in these honky-tonks, you know, to play like Texas two-step music, and our deal just was not that. And there was this old Texan, you know, this kind of can hold a long neck like this. Old-timer, he's standing looking up at me at the stage, and he'd say, play me a Hank Thompson song. So I played Wild Side Life. Play me Bob Wills, so I played Cherokee Maiden. Play Floyd Tillman, I played Cold War. And after the show, he came down and said, son, I don't know what in the hell you are, but I kind of like you. So I figured it was cool to come back to Texas after that. Huh? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. A song now by one of the greatest country bands of all time, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Go for it.
Was a beautiful day, sun beat down, had the radio on, I was driving. As the trees went by, me and Dale were singing, Little Runaway, and I was a fly. Running down the street, never would come to me. Working on a mystery, going wherever it leads. Running down the street. Well, I felt so good, like anything was possible. I hit cruise control and rubbed my eyes. The last 3 days, the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine. Running down the street, never would
put the pedal down. It takes some time. Something good way down this road. I'm thinking of. Working on a mystery, going wherever it leads, running down the dream. Yeah, running down the dream, never would come to me. Working on a mystery, going wherever it leads, running down.
All those folks. They were wonderful people. And I got to sit in with Mavis at South by Southwest, and she came back to Nashville. And we recorded a song that the Staple Singers actually started their career with. And it's pretty cool. And with your permission, we'd like to do you the Uncloudy Day.
Follow me.
Stewart, ladies and gentlemen. Harry Stinson, Paul Martin, Kenny Vaughn, tonight at 8:30 at the Hill Country Stage. Marty Stewart and his fabulous Superlatives.